A week ago, James Shepherd died, and the world lost one of the great cornet soloists, whose fame spread far and wide. But he was also a great teacher, much loved by his students, and to everyone who knew him or worked with him, a good and steadfast friend. To his family, of course, he was all of those things and more, and they will feel his passing more than any of us. A couple of years ago, I wrote an appreciation of Jim Shepherd as part of the Frankly Speaking series on Frank Renton on Brass.com, but it was only available to subscribers to the platform. So, as a mark of my admiration, love and respect for a great man and musician, here it is again, as a free podcast, available to all. In 1971, the management of the National Brass Band Championships of Great Britain awarded the insignia of honour to James Shepherd, principal cornet of the Black Dyke Mills Band, and generally accepted as being the best in the business. The citation said that in paying tribute to Jim Shepherd, they recognised the brass band's dependence on people of integrity and dedication in the preparatory work that they undertake, which in turn sustains an appropriate public appreciation of the music that we perform. And of all the people that I've ever worked with in the brass band world, I don't think that those words would fit anyone more than Jim. Jim was born and brought up in New Biggin-by-the-Sea in Northumberland and began playing the cornet as a teenager, taught by his dad, who I presume was the one that instilled in Jim the benefits of perfection and the hard work needed to achieve it. He played in the local band, went to work for the co-op, and I've no doubt, knowing Jim, that as long as he was becoming a better player each year and earning a living, that he was happy. When he was 18, he had to do national service and joined the band of the Royal Army Medical Corps in Aldershot for 3 years. Those would be the days when throughout the summer months the band would be constantly on tour, doing a couple of two-hour shows a day on some bandstand or other, with a cornet solo in each half played by Jim, who had quickly become the band's principal cornet. Some 20 years later, I took up an appointment in Aldershot, and the band of the Royal Army Medical Corps was still talking about the time that they had Jim Shepherd as solo cornet. He obviously made a big impression. After 3 years with the military, he returned to the Northeast, took up his job with the co-op, and joined the Pegswood Colliery Band. It must have been at this point in his life that the remarkable ability to prepare and practice were brought to bear, as Jim built on what he had achieved in his time in Aldershot, and top bands became aware of his gifts and ability. Jack Atherton, the conductor of the Carlton Main Frickley Colliery Band, stopped off in New Biggin-by-the-Sea to persuade Jim to join his band, and left him with the exhortation that it was time for Jim to decide whether he was to be a grocer or a musician. It can't have been easy, but thankfully Jim chose the latter, and the rest, as they say, is history. Once in the middle of the banding life of Yorkshire, everyone became aware of his extraordinary ability and his dedication, and when Maurice Murphy left the solo cornet seat with Black Dyke Mills Band, they offered Jim the job. Typical of Jim, he took 2 years to decide that he should in fact go to Black Dyke, and to be fair, it was a big move for him. In a very short time, he'd gone from the relative safety of a job in his hometown whilst playing for a local brass band to the hottest seat in the brass band world, where success wasn't merely an option, it was mandatory. At the same time, he began teaching for the West Riding Education Authority and was a natural. Jim knows the value of hard work and dedication, but he's also aware that improvement often comes in very small increments, and having an easy and encouraging relationship with a pupil achieved more than bullying and demanding. Everyone that I know who had lessons from Jim Shepherd views him with a kind of hero worship that is just brilliant to hear, and Jim in return values his friendship with old pupils greatly. The professional conductor at Black Dyke throughout Jim's early years with them was Major Jiggs Yaker, also director of music of the Irish Guards at the time and a quite quixotic musical personality. I can remember hearing the band under Jiggs and thinking that they were quite sensational, but they didn't make it happen on the national stage, and I know that Jiggs was desperately disappointed that he'd been unable to bring national success to the band. Then came Geoffrey Brand, and immediate success, victory in London on Journey into Freedom, and the cornet solo played by Jim with a beautiful sound, perfect production and a sense of real musicianship and connectivity with the audience. With Geoffrey came more high-profile concerts and more recordings, and Jim's stock rose even higher. And when you listen to those recordings, you realise that Jim had a knack of getting every detail just right. But to a musician like Jim, the band world was perhaps a little restrictive. So he began to get a few friends together to play as a small ensemble. There was little or no repertoire for a 10-piece ensemble, so a number of people began to write for them, and the whole experience became more and more enjoyable. Basically, the players were deciding their own musical destiny in every way, rather than being told how to do things all the time. And the James Shepherd Versatile Brass was born. Many thought that it would be a short-term attraction that would soon die, but it didn't. JSVB remained incredibly busy doing concerts and recordings. They were in demand all over the world, and they never stopped developing in terms of repertoire. And perhaps even more important than that, they never let their standards slip. But why would they play for an ensemble that bore the name of James Shepherd? In the mid-1970s, I conducted JSVB for the best part of 3 years, fitting it in around my military commitments, and it was just so good to be involved with them. Everyone in the ensemble was committed to Jim and his ethos of music making, and Jim never relented in his own search for perfection. And in the best traditions of entertainment, it all had to seem as though it came absolutely naturally. In the end, my growing responsibilities in Army Music made it impossible for me to keep travelling north to work with Jim and his ensemble, and a quite wonderful period in my musical life sadly came to an end. It must be hard being a legend in one's own lifetime with so much to live up to, but as far as I could tell, it never bothered Jim. He was an absolute natural, making music being like breathing to him. But he understood that to achieve that state of grace, there was a constant and unremitting battle to maintain standards. Despite all the adulation, he never changed from the Jim Shepherd that ventured south some 60 years ago to become one of the most revered cornet players of all time. Not for nothing was his nickname Gentleman Jim.